All right, good morning. John's on the ball. Let's go ahead and get started. It seems like each week our class gets a little bit smaller. I'm not sure if that's a reflection of the teacher or...
Closer attendance.
Yeah, that could be too. So, things going on, I guess. We are starting a new lesson today. If you did not pick up a lesson on your way in, they're on the music stand there. We're starting on evangelism. And so let's go ahead and have a word of prayer, and then we'll get started. Father God, we thank you for the privilege to come before you. We thank you for the life that you have given through your Son, Jesus Christ. And Lord, I pray that as we work through this lesson on evangelism, that not only would we have a desire to witness to others, but we would be reminded of the great salvation that has worked in our lives as well. And Lord, may you excite our hearts and our minds again, renew our love for you. And Lord, encourage us as we learn and we grow in this area. Forgive us for when we don't obey you and we don't take those opportunities that you put before us. And Lord, thank you for the times in which we do. And Lord, we ask that you would mold and shape our hearts and our minds to the word of Christ. And Lord, that you would use this lesson in our lives in a great way. And we ask in your name, amen. All right, so we are starting evangelism. And a couple of things as we get started. There are several good tracks out there. They set up for fellowship lunch today, so I feel crowded with tables. But there are several good tracks out there. Our church has one on the table all the time. And I had it here, but... The Bridge track. Have everybody looked at that? Pretty much. What's that? The Bridge track that is out on the table? I had one. I brought one with me, and I... So, I'll bring it with you. That right there. Debbie's holding one up. So, God's... So those are out, those are on the table in the foyer. They're there all the time. We keep restocking those as they disappear, and people do take them, because we have to keep putting more out, so that's a good thing. But one thing I really like about that track, or this one is called, Two Ways to Live, and this is really just, it's more of a way of sharing the gospel. They call this their pocket edition, something to help you look at and memorize. As we work through this is the one that we're going to look at. All our lessons are kind of on this. But these are not the only good ones. So as we go through these and I teach these and I mention them, there are other several good tracks out there as well, but there are also several bad tracks. And so, just as there are good tracks and bad tracks, there are right ways to share the gospel and there are wrong ways that, we try to do that. And so I want to talk about some of those, and really that's what we're going to focus on in some of these lessons, is looking at what the gospel actually is, not making it harder or more complicated than it is, but also not leaving out the key components of what makes up the gospel that we need to understand in order to come to Christ. And so a couple of things that I want to do today is I really want to look at an introduction. Maybe this will work. If I turn it on, that helps. So I want to look at an introduction to help solidify the content of the gospel in our own minds is one of the things I want to look at. And then the second thing that I want to look at is so that we might go out and share it with others. Okay, 1 Peter 3:15. So as we think through the gospel, think through evangelism, I want us to think through, like, What is the content of the gospel? What actually, if I am to go and share the gospel with somebody, what am I to share? What am I supposed to witness? How do I do that? When you think of evangelism, what are some thoughts that come to your mind?
Camp speakers.
Okay, camp speakers.
Sharing of the grace that was shown to you.
Okay, sharing of the grace that was shown to you. Any others?
Good news.
The good news. Good. All right. Any other thoughts? Okay, so what I want to do is I want to give an introduction to evangelism. We're going to look at that a little bit this morning, and then we'll jump in, if we have time, quickly to our first lesson. So, on the top of your paper, we've called this Introduction and God, Loving, Ruling, Creator. So, God, Loving, Ruling, Creator is our first lesson. Introduction is what I'm going to spend the majority of the time on here this morning. To start, I want those of you who are Christians to think about the circumstances in which you heard and believed the gospel. And the reason, who explained the message to you? In my own life, I've shared my testimony with you before, but in my own life, it was Brad Novak. He's the guy who the Lord used to share the message of the gospel with me over and over and over and over and over for a long time. Because Greg's hard-headed. And so he kept sharing that message. And he kept sharing the good news. But it is the Word of God that Brad was sharing that changes and one's heart. Okay? So as you think about that, think about your own life. Who is it that shared the gospel with you? Who is it? What are the circumstances around that? And I ask this point to the fact that all Christians have had this message proclaimed to them. There's none of us that come to know God apart from the gospel. None of us. There's no other way but through the gospel of Christ. And so our stories, in that sense, they're not that unique. Our stories all have a similar element to them, right? The major part of our salvation is what? The gospel. It's hearing the gospel, believing the gospel. And so when we think about that, all Christians have had the gospel presented to them, whether by family members, by friends, or even by complete strangers. There's no such thing as a Christian who has never heard the gospel. It's impossible. That is why it's so important that we share this message with others. And that's why the primary goal of this class is to equip us to do that, to share the gospel with others. So as we go through these 6 weeks is my goal. It's probably going to be 6 to 8 weeks to cover this class. Let's keep in mind, faith comes from what?
Hearing.
Hearing
the Word.
The Word of God. Okay, the Word of Christ. And so God has chosen you and I to be instruments for that message. What is evangelism? Evangelism is, J.I. Packer says this, he writes that evangelism is to present Christ Jesus in the power of the Holy Spirit to sinful people with the aim that they may come to put their trust in God through Him, to accept Him as their Savior, and serve Him as their King, and in the fellowship of His church. The fellowship of His church. Breaking it down a little bit, evangelism is to present a specific message, the gospel of Jesus Christ, right, to a specific people, lost men and women, in the power of the Holy Spirit with a specific purpose. The aim that they would repent and believe and be saved to God's glory. I believe that section's in your notes. So if you think about it, when we talk about the gospel is specific. So we talk about two kinds of revelation in Scripture. We talk about general revelation and specific revelation, or special revelation. It's called either one. General revelation is God's revelation that He's revealed certain truth to all men. Okay? Saved, unsaved, all men. He's done that through creation. He's done that through our conscience. And so He reveals that truth. There are certain truths that when God created man are in man. They're there. And when what the gospel is, though, the gospel is the other one. It's the specific truth. So in order for someone to trust Christ, it goes beyond general revelation, and it takes specific or special revelation. And that's what we talk about. Specific revelation is that which God is giving to specific people at a specific time for a specific purpose. That does not apply only to the gospel. We see this throughout Scripture. Okay, we look at different dispensations in Scripture and what we would call dispensations. And God is giving specific truth to specific people for a specific reason, a specific period of time. All right? And yet the gospel is that truth that is a specific truth to specific people for a specific purpose. But the gospel is timeless. It spans all time. Okay? And so I want us to understand that, and it's important for us to know that. And a couple of things that I also want us to see of what evangelism is not. If we say that's what evangelism is, then what is evangelism not? In other words, what are some things that can be confused with evangelizing? And I would say a couple of things. And these are common mistakes that we make in evangelism. I would say one, and I'm going to give you these. Don't hang me right away or argue with me. Let me work through the lesson a little bit, okay? One is personal testimony. All right, personal testimony. That one usually generates some argument when I bring that up. Personal testimony. Another one is apologetics or debate. I'm just going to click through these or say these. Judging and shaming is sometimes what people think the gospel is. Helping the poor. Giving to the needy is not the gospel. Doing good works before others. Raising good or obedient children. These are not the gospel. These are works of the gospel, but they are not the gospel. Okay? And there's a difference, and we need to understand that. So why aren't these things considered evangelism? They mostly express the fruit of the gospel or the implications of the gospel. There's a vast difference in that. But they don't proclaim the gospel itself. I can share with you how I came to Christ. But I can do that without ever sharing with you the Word of God. Okay? The Word of God is the gospel. My testimony is my testimony of how the Word of God worked in my life. There's a difference. All right? They also don't make a call for repentance or belief. If we give to someone or we help someone, and we do this hopefully on a personal level when we know someone that has a need and we're able to help with that need or to give to that need and it's appropriate to do so, we do this on ecclesiastical level as a church, okay? As things are made aware to the church and calls come in or something else happens, whether it's within the context of our body or whether it's in the context of outside of our body, okay? People will call. Those calls get forwarded to one of our deacons, or that message gets forwarded to one of our deacons. And then the deacons make that decision, okay? And they're trying to weigh through those. And so when we think about that, we do that as a church. But if we write somebody a check, or we give them a gift card, or we go get groceries for them, have we shared the gospel with them? No. We've shared the fruit of the gospel, right? But not necessarily the gospel. Merely feeding the poor isn't proclaiming a way to salvation through Jesus Christ. The gospel is fundamentally, as Joe said, good news. Okay? It is fundamentally good news. And evangelizing isn't talking about me or what I've done, but about Christ and what He's done. As Romans 10:17 says, faith comes by hearing. Okay, faith comes by hearing. Now, this doesn't mean that it doesn't matter how we live as Christians. Okay, that's the jump sometimes people will make. That's not what I'm saying this morning. That's not what I'm trying to portray or to teach. We ought to speak God's word as those who are truly living out God's word. By that, what do we mean? Scripture says that we're to be an aroma of Christ among those who are being saved and those who are perishing. 2 Corinthians 2:15.
Question?
Yeah.
You said that sharing what Christ has done for you, that is a presentation of the gospel.
I said that's personal testimony. So I can share my personal testimony as I share the gospel. Okay, so those two are not always separate. But I can also share my personal testimony without sharing the gospel, is what I'm saying. So the reason I bring that up and that is because a lot of times people will say, well, this is what God did in my life. And they'll share this story, that it's a true story, right, about how God worked in my life. But with that story, I share my story, and what's happened to me. But I fail to share actually the content of the gospel. What I'm sharing is what happened because of the gospel, not actually the gospel. And so sometimes we can share the gospel, and then I'll say, let me give you an example, what I mean by believing, trusting, hearing, okay? And as we lay out the scripture for them, this is how God used that in my life. So I share my testimony as an example of the gospel working in one's life, or someone else's testimony of the gospel working in their life. I remember going and visiting with a pastor, and he took me on some visitation. We were going on a visitation one night, and we were going and visiting homes of people who had either visited the church or people had given us their names to go see them. And I went out with him, and he was talking with them and sharing some things with them. And then he jumped right into, he gave a very clear presentation of the gospel. Opened his Bible, walked through it verse by verse, and shared the gospel with them. And then he said, do you understand what this is saying? And they said, well, yes, somewhat. And he looks at me and he goes, Greg, tell them how that worked in your life. What does that look like in your life? And he wanted me to share my testimony of how the gospel had worked in my life. And so I did that. My point is that those are two distinct things. Okay, does that help if I say it that way? All right, so... yeah, so what our testimony is never separate from the gospel, but it's also not the gospel, okay? Right?
But they can incorporate the gospel.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I can share both at the same time. Yeah. Yep. Yep. So, one person noted this. The greatest single cause of atheism in the world today is Christians who acknowledge Jesus with their lips and then do what? Walk out the door denying him by their lifestyle. Okay? So that is really what an unbelieving world simply finds unbelievable, is that you and I would say this with our mouths. We would testify of Christ and who he is, and then we would, by the way we live our lives, we would live completely different than that. All right? So that's what is evangelism, what evangelism is not. So our testimony can be examples of the gospel, okay, an example of the gospel working in us. But our testimony, by me making that last statement, my point is this, that our testimony can also hinder the gospel or tarnish the gospel. Okay? If we're not living for Christ, we're not living for God. All right, who is called to evangelize? Now that we've thoroughly explained evangelism, who gets to do it? Quite simply, it's the same as discipleship. Everybody, right? We're all called to evangelize. So the grand task is for you and I to obey and enjoy that task. It's to undertake that and enjoy it. At the end of Christ's life, or his earthly ministry, I should say, in Matthew 28:18-20, Jesus says to his disciples, he gives the Great Commission, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, okay, and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, all things I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. We're familiar with that text, probably, at least most of us. But then in Acts, we see the church doing this very thing. In Acts 8, 1 through 4, it tells us in Acts 8, 1 through 4, that on that day, a great persecution broke out against the church in Jerusalem. And all except the apostles were scattered throughout Judea and Samaria. Those who had been scattered did what? What does the text tell us? They preached the gospel wherever they went. They preached the gospel wherever they went. So, we ought to rejoice that God has chosen to entrust that message of salvation to us. Sometimes we wonder why. Okay? Why would God do that? Why would God trust such a precious and important message to us, sinners? Okay? That He has saved by grace. We who've received the bread of life must show others where they can get that bread. Okay, you've probably heard someone has said, I'm just one beggar showing another beggar where they can get bread, right? And there's a lot of truth to that statement. My hope is that through this class, that by thy God's Spirit will help to give you the knowledge and the courage to do just that. You and I both. Okay, to share the gospel like we ought to. One of the best stories about someone resigning their lives to proclaiming the gospel is John Patton. Have you guys read John Patton's autobiography or anything on him? He was a missionary in the 1800s, and he was to the New Hebrides. And when he was getting ready to go over to the New Hebrides from Scotland, some men were trying to stop him, trying to deter him, trying to sway him not to go. And one guy said to him, he exploded, and he's saying, the cannibals, you will be eaten by the cannibals. And to this, Patton responded, he said, Mr. Dixon, you are advanced in years now, and your own prospect, he says, is soon to be laid in the grave. And there you are to be eaten by worms. So he says, I confess to you that if I can but live and die serving and honoring the Lord Jesus Christ, it will make no difference to me whether I am eaten by cannibals or whether I am eaten by worms. And in the great day of my resurrection, my resurrection body will arise as fair as yours in the likeness of our risen Redeemer. It was his response. May you and I, whether we go to the land of cannibals or not, may we have that same boldness with the gospel. May we have that same boldness. May we understand the importance of going, the call to do so, and the call to share it. So, what is successful evangelism? What are your thoughts? How do you weigh whether or not evangelism is successful?
George Gable would say that it's none of your business the condition of the soil, you're just supposed to sow.
Okay.
So.
Okay. All right. I can certainly appreciate that. Okay. Any other thoughts?
That's all you can do is present the word to people, and then it's up to God working their heart. You're successful whether they accept accept Christ or not.
Sure.
Present the gospel.
Okay, yeah, we're going to talk about that. So I heard someone, a conversation between two people one time, and this person was sharing how God had given him the opportunity to witness to somebody. And he had shared the gospel with them and talked with them, and he was excited, right? that the conversation, he felt the conversation had gone well. He was sharing the opportunity God had given him. And the other person, an older believer who was standing there with him, said, "Did they get saved?" And he said, "No." He said, "They didn't." And he goes, "Well, maybe next time you'll have a better opportunity." That was his response. "Maybe next time you'll have a better opportunity." And I think sometimes, the reason I bring this up is because I think sometimes we can judge success, or success is judged, even by others, based on whether or not someone makes a decision for Christ. Do we want someone to make a decision for Christ? Absolutely. No one's arguing that, right? Is that going to happen every time you share the gospel? Did it happen every time Christ shared himself? Was it every time he witnessed? Every time he called people to the truth? Absolutely not. It didn't. Okay? It's not going to happen for you either. It's not going to happen for me. We are not in control of how people respond. That is not our responsibility.
Excuse me. In 1 Corinthians 3:6 says, "I planted, but Apollos watered." There's got to be both the planting of the seed and the watering of the seed. A lot of times when we go out, all we're doing is planting seed, which is good. But God might bring someone else that they're closer to actually water that seed, and they come to Christ. We were at an evangelistic program in Chisago. I ran it actually for a year. And in 2 years, we went out all over the place. I remember even running a guy behind his house trying to, he was trying to get away from me. Nobody was saved during those 2 years, and we thought we had failed, and we tried to say, well, maybe we didn't present it right or logically, all this stuff. Well, it says God gives the increase. And so we thought we were failures, but we weren't. We were just planting seed. But then everybody in my life that has, the Lord has used me to bring to Him, I've gone next to and watered. In a sense, they always have to give the word, but they have to see your life. They have to trust you, and these things. So we have to realize that evangelism is two things: is planting and watering. It isn't just going out and passing out tracts and so forth, which is important. But
yeah.
Anyways.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. I I will still, and this is here nor there, I guess, but I will still use tracts for myself. Where the opportunity gives itself to do so. You know, if we go out to eat, Karen and I will leave a tract. We try to do that. If we are in a situation where you're talking to somebody and you don't have long in that conversation, sometimes it's nice to leave.
Yeah, you plant the seed. Always plant the seed.
But the other thing that I found with tracts too, and I'll just say this, is that sometimes people will give them because they don't want to talk. They don't want to share the gospel this way, okay, and audibly. And so even thinking about that, now, granted, there are a lot of interactions that you and I have where we don't necessarily have the chance to audibly sit down with somebody and share the gospel. But there are a lot of chance opportunities where we do as well. And so you're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. And I appreciate the observation, too, of you know, kind of how you guys felt and then realizing.
Yeah, I had a friend that came to where I worked. I actually worked in the government center. We had more evangelistic outreach in the in the government center than almost any other place. But he came and someone had planted that seed. And then he had lots of questions. Yeah. And then I knew him and we respected each other. And then we could sit down and lay out the gospel and all these things. And so someone else planted that seed. I didn't plant the seed. Yeah. Someone else did.
Yep.
But then I watered, and then God gave the increase. It was just a beautiful thing when you put the two together.
Yeah, it is.
Good. Thank you. Joe?
This is just something I heard, and I don't know if it's, you know, how it fits in, but this one guy came to Christ, and he told how he was at the University of Minnesota, and there was this outside preacher who was, you know, preaching. And it was quite, he called it combative, or he didn't use that word, but the idea was he didn't like it, and he reacted to it. And then later on, he came to Christ, and he was saying how bad that was, and how the person who led him to Christ was gentle and walked him through steps, you know. But the point is, I don't think he fully understands how God used that other preacher, even though he, at the time, seemed like he was obnoxious. See, so he's giving his testimony, but I don't think he's evaluating how God uses different situations.
Yeah, absolutely. Yep. Yeah, and I told you, Brad shared the gospel with me several times. There were other guys intermixed in there that were connected to him or that I crossed paths with him that shared the gospel with me as well. But you know, like Brad, when he shared the gospel with me, he shared the gospel with me to the point that I was so irritated with him. I mean, I audibly told him everything that I could think of to make him just leave me alone. Go away, you know? And so for a long time, I guess I'm saying that, Joe, because for a long time with Brad, I saw it as combative. You know, like, I've told you I don't want to hear this. I told you I don't want to. And what am I fighting against? I'm not fighting against Brad. I know that now. You know, he wasn't the one that was making me angry. It was my own spirit being pricked by God's spirit through the truth of his word. And I was not responding to that in a way that God was honored, in the way that he desired me to, yet. Okay? And so, those are some things that I think it's important just to talk about this a little bit, to look at what is successful evangelism. I'm just going to give you three basic questions that I think how you answer these will determine whether or not your evangelism will be successful. And first is this. I'm sorry, I don't have these on the board. I should have put these up there. Are you presenting the gospel of Jesus Christ accurately? That would be the first question. Are you presenting the gospel of Jesus Christ accurately? While you're writing that down, what I mean by that is, are your words true, or do you dumb parts down, such as the wickedness of sin or the cost of following Christ? Those parts where we feel like they're going to be offensive, or someone's going to take a step back or not like them. Do we try to make it more appealing to your hearer? I pray that this class would impress upon each of us a better understanding of why each truth in the gospel is important for the message of the gospel to be whole. Okay, if you take away any part of the gospel, you lose the gospel. It's no longer to the gospel. If you add anything to the gospel, you lose the gospel. It's no longer to the gospel. But, you know, so I want us to think through that. Don't be scared to share God's word as it is stated. People, the question comes up, well, they're not going to like that. Not your problem. I'm not trying to sound mean. I'm not trying to sound cold. It's not your problem. Your problem is if you don't share the truth accurately. Then it becomes your problem. Your problem is not how someone responds to the truth. Now, we're not doing this in a way that we, to go back to that analogy, that we are being combative. You know, I shared the truth with you. I can't believe you wouldn't believe that. You're such an idiot. Right? Wrong. You're probably not going to get far with sharing the gospel that way with somebody. So we're not intentionally being combative, but the truth is that God's word is naturally combative. There is a war going on inside that person, inside you. We do not leave that war when we come to Christ. We actually begin to engage in that war. It starts for us. So we need to share it accurately and worry less about how someone will feel about the truth, and allow the truth to do what the truth does. Okay? So that'd be the first one. The second one, are you sharing the gospel with lost people? Are you sharing the gospel with lost people? In other words, which non-Christians in your life have never heard the gospel from you? Which non-Christians in your life have never heard the gospel from you? Who are you praying about to share the gospel with? Are you making the most of every opportunity with your unbelieving friends or family? I know that I cannot answer all those questions well. I have not done well in all those. I would guess that some of you would agree with me in your own life for that. So why don't we share the gospel is the question. The fear of man. We're scared that we won't share it rightly, or where do I start, or how do I start? We don't know the gospel well enough to articulate it. Some people will say, I'm just so busy. Okay, I'm just so busy. I only have Christian friends. All right. All those things are reasons, and there's many, many more. All these things deal with, all those things that I just said to you, what do they deal with? They deal with, the reality is they deal with our failures. But the remedy is found in trusting God through the obedience, which brings, if you will, it brings us to our next question. And that's question number 3 that I want to pose to you this morning. Are you relying on the power of the Holy Spirit? Are you relying on the power of the Holy Spirit? So these are the 3 questions. Are you presenting the gospel of Jesus Christ accurately? Are you sharing the gospel with lost people? And the 3rd one is, are you relying on the power of the Holy Spirit? Only God performs the miraculous work of bringing a dead person to life. Only God can do that. You and I cannot do that. You and I are called to share. We're called to plant and to water the seed. But we are to what? We're to leave it to God for the increase. Allow God to do what God does. Let us do what we're called to do. Okay? Those are 2 different jobs. It's not for us to try to manipulate another person into heaven. If they don't believe the gospel, it's not your job to convince them of the gospel. It's your job to present the truth. Okay? No matter what, we get them to say with their lips, getting them into heaven, we need to understand this, getting them into heaven is God's job, not ours. You can talk with someone long enough and they'll probably pray a prayer that you want them to pray. You can talk with somebody long enough and they'll eventually do what you want them to do. But they're not doing it because their heart is under conviction. They're not doing it because God has moved them or done that work in their life. They're doing it because they want you to go away. And the only way you're going to go away, and the only way you're going to leave them alone, is if they finally do what you've asked them to do, right? Okay? So we need to understand that. Prayer is God's ordained means to sovereignly open doors and soften hearts. If you share the truth and someone doesn't respond to the truth, your responsibility is to keep sharing the truth and pray that God would open their heart to the truth of His Word. All right? Colossians 4:2-6 says, continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving at the same time, pray also for us that God may open to us a door for the word to declare the mystery of Christ, on account of which I am in prison. Paul says, I'm in prison for the gospel, for the sake of the gospel. And then he says that in verse 4, that I may make it clear, which is how I ought to speak. Walk in wisdom toward outsiders, making the best use of the time. Let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you ought to answer each person. Okay? Colossians 4:2-6. So let me close with a couple of remarks. Sorry. Let me close with a couple of remarks on this, and then we'll be done, and we'll look at lesson 1 next time. I just want to share a couple more thoughts before we get into the 2 ways to live material. And I would say this. This class is for anybody, whether you're a new Christian, not a Christian, or have been following Christ for 40 years. This class is for everybody. The gospel is not a once and done thing. The gospel is a continuing work. One of my theology professors in school used to say it this way, and the first time I heard him say it, I questioned what he was saying, but he used to say this, I'm saved, and then I'm saved. And what was he saying? He wasn't saying that I get re-saved every time, that I need to go through the process of salvation again. But what he was talking about is that I'm saved. God brings me to a point where I see the need to repent and to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, right? I'm saved through that. And then God continues to save me through the process of sanctification from the old man to the new man. He's changing me. He's molding me. He's shaping me. And it's not a once and done. The gospel has been working in my life from before I was saved, and it will be until I go to eternity. And the gospel will be brought to full fruit in my life. So it's the essence of becoming a Christian, but it's also what continues to sustain us as believers throughout our whole lives. So just begin where you are, and as you go through this class, even if you're hearing these truths for the first time, if you're here and you don't know Christ, you will clearly hear the gospel by the end of this class. Okay? So, if you know the story of Andrew Philip, after he encountered Jesus, they immediately did what? They went and got their brothers. Andrew went and he got his brothers. And really, the Samaritan woman at the well, after she encountered Jesus, what did she do? She immediately went to town and to tell the people about Jesus. Know this. And I would say this, that this side of heaven, you will never fully grasp the gospel. You and I will never fully understand the gospel this side of heaven and all of its tenets. Does that mean we shouldn't share it? Obviously not, right? Okay? So, you will never fully live out the perfect life that commands Jesus Christ, but you can still point others to Him. And if you are a Christian, you must. That's what it's saying to us in that text back in Matthew. All right. Enough of the intro. My goal for this class is, again, that when we're done, we would clearly understand the gospel and we would clearly be able to articulate it and share it with others. So, I think it's helpful to look at tracks like the Bridge Track or the Two Ways to Live book, the pocket edition there. It's a tract, I guess. It's helpful because it's clearly laid out. It's simple, in a simple version, a simple way, that it's not complicated, it's not muddled, as oftentimes tracts will try to do. So there's a difference between walking someone through the gospel that leads to salvation and trying to see them walk through the process of sanctification as they're coming to the gospel. Okay? We tend to, as Christians, dump. We tend to muddy the waters. And so, really, I've seen it done, I guess is a better way to put it. And I have experienced it, and that is, we try to get people to change their lives before we actually try to bring the call of the gospel to them. The process of sanctification will never take place if the gospel has not taken root. We need to understand that. Don't try to sanctify someone or help someone walk through the process of sanctification. It was a terrible way to say that. Or don't try to disciple someone in the process of coming to know, in knowing God, walking with God, when the gospel has not taken root in their life. The gospel must take root first. When God changes that heart, then the sanctification process can begin. So don't muddy the waters. Let's make sure that we're being clear. It helps us jump into the gospel from many different vantage points. It allows us to summarize the gospel quickly, which sometimes is all we have time for as well. All right? So we'll look at lesson number one next week, and we'll go from there.